Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Now, the Stars offered me box seats, luxury box suites for game 7. I think it was game 6. And I said, hey, Stanley Cup could get handed out tonight. I've always wanted to be in the building when the Stanley Cup gets handed out. And she said, we came down here for George Strait. We're going to George Strait.
How about that?
So I walked out of Cowboys Stadium.
No.
Who won the Stars game? Dead. Who won the Stars game? It's Dallas in 2000. No. The who? The what? And I'm like,
this wouldn't have happened in Winnipeg. They know.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, our mics are live, they tell us. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Brand new week. Welcome to Canada's daytime sports talk show. RP here and Darren Moose DuPont there. You'd think we had our act together. I was in here reasonably early. We've been meeting for 40 minutes straight.
Yeah.
And then I pick up the Prairie Mobile text line, and it's as dead as a doornail. It's a paperweight. I'm like, we didn't want to think about plugging that in?
Yeah. We missed that one.
Don't!
We'll get it.
How are you?
I'm good.
See, I got my Tom Brady
all things
gear on.
Together.
All things considered.
Yeah.
I got my bunny hug on here from Tom Brady. He's a winner, don't you know?
Oh, yeah.
All part of what we're going to talk about here. Over the next 2 hours, your favorite sports talk show has some very big name guests today. I got to butter him up. He's probably watching right now. Vegas Golden Knights insider Gary Lawless is going to join us from Vegas, where it is game day. And last week when I put to the viewers, whom would you like to hear from U.S. teams? Leading the way was Gary Lawless and the Vegas Golden Knights.
Awesome.
They got a big footprint in America and clearly one in Canada too. And then we've got Andy McNamara joining us from Sportsnet's fantasy football programs. And he's the biggest Cleveland Browns fan in Canada. Clark, do you remember the name of the podcast he hosts for the Browns? What the specific name of it is? I can look it up. I thought you might have known off the top of your head. But Andy McNamara is no stranger to this show. Former voice of the Hamilton Tiger Cats and Toronto Rock. Now he's doing fantasy football at Sportsnet. But he's going to join us to talk about the Browns. And Braden Muskowy from Team Dunstone. It was, Thursday? The huge news that Team Dunstone will be representing Saskatchewan. This has broad appeal, I believe, to not just Saskatchewan viewers, but curling fans across the entire country. Because they're going to the bubble. They've been anointed the provincial champions. And so I got a lot of things to get to with Braden and thoughts on that. But before we go any further, let's go with the quick six show topics, please, Jordan. Please and thank you. By the way, Dupes, did you have a good weekend?
I had a great weekend.
Good.
Yeah.
A lot of that's encompassed in the quick six show topics here. But I'm getting old. I was telling you, you saw a photo of myself and our dog, my daughter's dog, Miko, watching Yellowstone.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of weekend watching Yellowstone with Miko, and I've become that guy that's realized if I buy a box of 60 Keurig cups at Costco, it's more cost-effective than going to buy this coffee at this drive-thru, you know what I mean, blah,
yep.
blah, 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 and grind coffee grounds at home. I've become that guy.
Okay. Wow. So now it's, I can save 13 cents a cup by going here.
Yeah.
And over the course of 2 months, it's going to be, yeah. Okay.
It saves me time. I've become that guy. And you know why? For lack of better things to do.
Yeah.
Nothing else going on. So I just wanted to point that out. Point one of our quick six show topics, NFC playoff scores. I'm just going to rattle them off. And I guess we can give our thoughts just on the NFC results. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers beating New Orleans 30-20 probably was the best game of up there.
Yeah.
Green Bay beating the LA Rams 32-18. That was the worst game. That wasn't even in doubt.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It was, they were going to the fourth quarter in the Tampa game 20-20. What's better than that?
Oh, yeah. I know. And there was a lot of talk about Breeze and Brady and maybe the game's past their prime. You don't get to championship weekend or into the divisional round if you're not good without a good quarterback. You look at the quarterbacks who are left, and I tweeted this last night. I mean, it is the best of the best. And yeah, there was some, you know, sloppy play. The defense has played really well, but there's two of the game's best quarterbacks still going toe to toe. And it wasn't all about them making plays, but they were in a tight game, and it was about how they were navigating it. It was great.
I got to interject. John Ohm watching in Winnipeg. He says, please, no North Division after this year. I want to see more than six teams play my own team. Hang on, John. We got to get, that's our poll question. So as soon as you log on, for those that are watching on Facebook Live, that's the first thing that pops up in your face is the vote. That's why he's talking about it. So we'll come back around on that, but I want your I want everybody's thoughts on the poll question today, which is, should the Scotia North Division last past this year? I saw Andrew Patterson, our good friend Hustler from TSN 1290 Winnipeg, kind of started that notion, and then another media, bunch of media jumped on it, and fans saying, yeah. So I just want to get your take, and then I'll give mine a little later on. But thanks, John, for the comment on that. To the AFC playoffs, and probably the most interesting game, which wasn't going in one you would think would be the most interesting game, was Cleveland-Kansas City, right? You would have thought that'd be a rout.
Yeah, well, and I did. I thought it would be a rout, and it was leaning that way.
What was the point spread? 10 points?
It was 10 points, and I picked the Chiefs to, and they were well on their way to covering that spread until Patrick Mahomes went out, and then, you know, Baker made it close. But how about Chad Henne?
How about him?
Who would have thought?
How about that?
He'd be the hero running for, 14 yards to set up that fourth and one, you know, and then, I mean, the call by Andy Reid. Even Tony Romo, who bats almost 1,000 in predicting plays, couldn't call that one.
Well, yeah, and jumping back and forth here, but looks like a new viewer, Dustin Lezzi, says, I love that the Habs games will be on TV more and not blacked out so much like they do on TSN. So, yeah, see, that's what people want to delve into, not as much NFL. So let me just say this. It'll rear its head again in my quick six show points, so I'll just continue. To point three, NHL weekend notes, because that's where everybody is. I was telling the boys in the pre-show meeting that I love that Darren and Clark have the Leafs locked down, because I don't care for the Leafs. So yeah, I knew you guys were watching that game Saturday night.
Yeah.
That freed me up to watch the Oilers and the Habs and analyze that, and then flip over to the Golden Knights and the Ducks and analyze that. And between all of us, we got everything covered.
You bet.
It's great that way. And then tonight, well, let me back up. I tweeted Sunday morning. Here's my thoughts from Saturday night. The Leafs are number one in Canada. It's glorified likes and retweets if you tweet something like that. You know that, right?
Yeah.
What do you call it? Glad handing or
something
like that. Cheap.
Pandering to the audience.
Pandering.
I love it.
Thank you. Pandering. That's what it was. And it works. What else did I say? The Coyotes look good. And they do.
Yeah.
They look good. The Golden Knights have a flair for the dramatic. They trailed all game. Anaheim 1-0. And then Willie Karlsson scores with like just over a minute to go to tie it. And then 7 seconds into overtime. 7 seconds into overtime. Patches scores for the Golden Knights, and they win. And then the Oilers, their fans are all upset. Like, all is right in the world, really.
Oh, yeah.
Water fans are wild. Leafs fans are planning the parade. The world stabilized.
Exactly.
But Jets fans were writing me saying, Rod, there's one undefeated team, only one undefeated team in Canada. And it's the Winnipeg Jets. And they go against Canada's team tonight at the Scotiabank Arena in Toronto, Jets and Leafs.
It'll be good. What more do you want?
We're less than a week into the regular season, and we got this huge matchup for all the marbles. It's all the marbles for one night until tomorrow.
Well, and that
but
was
it's perfect.
That was it, right? You know, on Friday night, the Leafs lose to Ottawa in a game they played pretty good, but it's okay. Leafs aren't making the playoffs. You lost one game. They're jumping off a cliff, right? Oilers have a couple of bad games and, you know, it's disaster. Or you win a game and all of a sudden you think you're the best team in all of hockey. You're right. It's so early. It's one week in. But that's why we have the poll question is what it is. It's been so entertaining. And we're going to have these great, heated, rivalry-type matchups on a nightly basis.
Clark has just reminded our viewers, and thankfully he's reminded me. If you're on Twitter, go over and retweet our tweet. What a 2020 saying that is right there. To watch on Twitter live right now. We're also on YouTube and Facebook. So those were some of the notes from the weekend, but to the point of the All-Canadian Division. Man, we should have a camera on our pre-show meetings because they're so much fun. They are a poster for ADD, right?
Oh, yeah.
zing, 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 zing. We don't stay on one topic very long.
That's right.
But Clark said it would be cool to have the North Scotia division, but the Seattle Kraken would have to be in it. And then while I was just about to debate that, Paul took it in another direction about something else. But I thought the whole concept of the Canadian division is the Canadian division. And, you know, past this year, the border will be open. So you could still have this Canadian division that plays into America, right?
Yeah, it would play just like the regular divisions would, right? You just play your teams more.
But I also like where Clark's going with it. Like, you, the natural Vancouver-Seattle rivalry is there. We can't screw this up by having them not in the same division, right?
I know.
So, it's not going to go past this year, and I can't believe people are even talking about it, primarily because of the travel concept and the time zones. Correct me if I'm wrong. Is not every league on the continent separated by geographics? And that's it. And that's the biggest reason. Geographic rivalries, time zone and travel. Ratings.
Yeah.
Ratings. Now, having said that, the ratings are pretty high now, but we don't have an option. Canadian teams aren't playing American teams, so we don't know what to put it up against.
That's right. We don't. But it is really cool, and it's going to be awesome when this gets further and they get into a playoff situation, because you look at it, it's going to end up being Canada versus the United States. And that's going to be really, really cool. And I think the viewership's going to go through the roof when, you know, we're sitting here trying to figure out, okay, well, who's the best in Canada? Who are we going to pick as our representative to go up against the United States in the NHL? That's cool.
So I'm just reading some of the viewers' comments here that have joined us for coffee. And please go to the bottom of your screen and click share for your Facebook friends, too. Austin Cherkis says, I love your show. Another from John Ohm, I love the division, but play in the States too. Well, that's what will happen moving forth past this year. From our friend Jamie Neugebauer, how about the Leafs-Habs rivalry with Boston, for example? How about it? What are you saying, Nugsy, that these rivalries will end because of geographics and the all-Canadian division? He might be right. There used to be one division, the original six. So, I don't know. I can't see it moving forward. Maybe I would need to be sold on this.
Yeah.
Maybe I could be convinced. I just don't think that it'll happen. I like seeing my teams. That's why I went and bought center ice. Actually, this morning when I officially consummated the relationship with Access Television, I put my, well, I just called them and I said, put me down for NHL center ice. They just add it to my bill, of course. It goes in your credit card. It's not real money, right? You don't ever see it.
Exactly. You just pay the bill every month. It doesn't change. It doesn't matter what you spend.
Yeah, it's credit card money. What the hell? Didn't even see it go out of my pocket. Because I just noticed late last week, as I said on the air, whoa, 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 whoa. The Golden Knights are playing and I can't find them. This won't do. So for the fans of the Canadian teams, yes, it's cool. For fans of American teams like myself, yeah, I'm not as big a fan of the Canadian Scotia North Division moving forward. But is the only reason against the time zones? Is that the only reason not to?
I think so.
That might be overcomable.
Yeah. And when it comes to the networks, then you got this, you know, big deal in Sportsnet, and they won't be showing any American games. I mean, we do see some of them now, but it'll be mostly primarily Canadian. And so you start, you know, not having any influence on those other markets that they want to grow the game in, California and Florida and, you know, different markets throughout the United States. But I like it. I think it's awesome. I think it's great.
I do have to move on to point four, which is officiating. And yeah, so the fumble down at the 1 yard line, or the goal line, wasn't even the one in the Cleveland Kansas City game, decided the game. You guys all love Andy Reid throwing on, what was it, third and four?
Fourth and one.
Fourth and one. No. When he threw it, when Henny was in the game late, and they were trying to get the first down to kill the clock.
That was fourth and one.
Yeah, so when he threw it on fourth and one?
That's why it was such a big play.
He threw it twice on the one series. We just thought it would be straight rushing play.
Oh, yeah. No, for sure. But he threw it, and then, you know, Henny ran for 14 yards, and you thought he picked up the first down. It was fourth and one, so you think they were going to run the clock out, you know, call a timeout, trying to get him to jump to get the first down, which they needed. But instead, they snapped it, and he threw it to Tyreek Hill for the first down.
Right. All of that, though, was not what won the game.
No.
It was the fumble down at the goal line, which, you don't see very often. You don't honestly see that very often. And I just kind of got a kick out of the Cleveland fans that were just losing their marbles, saying this rule needs to be changed. One was Jeff Darlington from ESPN. Like, we're talking pundits here.
Yeah.
And it's like, you didn't have a problem with the rule until it affected your team. I have a real problem with that. And I'm sorry, Brady in Saskatoon, but it's the same thing. He wants the rule changed that the puck goes off a ref into the net. It's disallowed because it hit the ref. Well, you don't want that rule because it scored on your team.
And I
have a real problem with that.
Yeah, and they'll say that, well, no, because this happens other times, and it's not just because it happened to my team. Well, you're only bringing it up because it happened to your team.
Right.
If it didn't happen to your team, we would never talk about it. And that's simply
the point. So I know a lot of Cleveland fans, believe it or not, and longtime fans. Kelly Bale. I mean, who would argue to being a Cleveland band-jumping fan? You can't. Kelly Bale has been a longtime fan of the Browns. And Chris Moan's another friend of mine. I know a few. And Kelly says, I lost my marbles because the NFL rules are broken. But that's the point, Kelly. I love you, and you know that. But you didn't think they were broken until the rule went against your team. I can tell you Kansas City kind of likes those rules. See what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So I have a problem with that. And God bless officiating people, not just the officials themselves, but their bosses that just have a skin, thicker than a damn rhinoceros that you just can't affect them, right? Because do you want to talk about a thankless job?
Oh, yeah.
Yeesh. But we got to speed up because Gary Lawless coming in next. Point five, funding for junior hockey. I don't know where to start there. I was stunned how much opposition there is to it, given the fact we're a hockey country. But I saw the BC teams, within hours of the Saskatchewan teams getting $4 million from the government, the BC teams were knocking on the door of the legend Victoria saying, where's ours? And they got a, hang on, you're important, we're they acknowledged them, at least, it seems, for the first time ever.
Yeah, and that's good.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, you know, because Saskatchewan doles out money, it doesn't necessarily mean BC is going to, or doesn't necessarily mean that they should, right? Mm-hmm. I hope that they do, and I hope that they can support these teams. But yeah, you're going to get that opposition because there's a lot of people who don't, you know, follow the game or watch the game. But I think it's such an important part of our communities. And I think we need to do what we can to make sure that those teams don't go away.
And the economic spinoff in the communities. And the civic pride. The civic pride. And the mental health of the fans. Not the least of which the careers of the participants. So there's a lot to it. And point six, we'll come to later, just a little football. Adam Big Hill agreeing to a $145,000 pay cut, according to Farhan Lalji. I don't know how much Charleston Hughes is being asked to take, but it's a hell of a lot. And should Charleston Hughes be expected to take a massive haircut like Big Hill did just for the good of the company? Or should he be allowed to look elsewhere without people on his back? That and more. Just one more from Neil Shuchuk. You know Shuey.
Oh, yeah.
Watching in White Court, Alberta. He says, the Oilers were absolutely awful on Saturday. How can this team with two of the best players in the world, numerous coaches, etc., be as bad as they are? Shuey, you missed last week when I suggested there's something in the walls. They brought it from Rexall Place to the new place, and they put it in the walls. There's got to be a hex on these guys. Somebody put a loony with an Oiler logo on it or something?
Something. Or
something.
Flames logo.
Something's in the walls.
Yeah.
We'll be back with Gary Lawless. Hang on. It's our Monday morning coffee get-together. Canada's daytime sports talk show continues after this on Game Plus Television. Now, daily, live on YouTube. And listen live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Just ahead of Gary Lawless, Jack Fulton's watching in Vulcan, Alberta, regarding Charleston Hughes being asked to take a whopping pay cut. Jack says, leave Charleston Hughes alone to make his own decisions career-wise. The man has earned the right to play for the team, offering him the most dollars. Hey, 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 why so touchy this morning? If you don't like being second-guessed, you probably don't want to be in the sports life or public life. Just saying that. Yeah. I want everybody making as much money as they can. I was just relating it to Adam Big Hill, who took this gigantic, looked like a 50% pay cut just to stay with the team because he likes the city and the team.
Yeah.
Anyways, let's go to Vegas now. Golden Knights insider Gary Lawless joining us. And Gary, I don't know if you saw off the top of the show, happy 21, by the way, 2021. I asked the viewers who you want to hear from, American teams. They said, Vegas, Gary Lawless. So the people have spoken, Gary. That's why you're here today.
And they like me on your show because I give the commissioner of the CFL a hard time. That's all. That's why they like me.
Whatever it is, it's the truth. That's what they enjoy. Before we jump into the NHL talk, and I know it's game day for you guys, so I appreciate the time. How about Adam Big Hill taking that huge haircut? Not to mention Willie Jefferson and Zach Kolaros and the rest. What's your read on what's going on in the CFL right now?
Well, the CFL as a business is they didn't play last year. They didn't take in any money. So, yeah, there's going to be pay cuts. There's going to be lots of economic and financial issues around the league. And players, it's not like there's a – not like the NFL or the NBA or the Major League Baseball where there is a crazy TV contract that can, you know, that can make the whole business profitable without any fans in the stands. The NHL, you know, Gary Bettman has already said they're going to lose over $1 billion this year. The CFL owners, it's not that they don't have the deep pockets. They could do it. But as a business, there's no case for going that far in the hole where you would look in the future and say, okay, we're going to recoup it because we're going to do expansion. There's nowhere really to expand in Canada. Or we're going to get all kinds of more money in a TV contract. There's only, you know, there's only, the pot is only so big in the CFL. So it makes sense to me that, that there are financial cuts for the players. I'll be honest with you. I'm way more concerned with the people that work for the clubs. You know, Dwayne Mandruziak lost his job. I've got friends all across the league that have taken big pay cuts. The CFL head office, they took a whole bunch of people out of play. So I have more sympathy and concern for those people than I do for the players. It's a privilege to play. Yeah, you know, you're the show and you deserve to get paid well for it, but only to a certain extent in the Canadian Football League. Economics dictate it is what it is.
Yep, for sure. I got guys, it's just the crazy times when people DMing me in the CFL that have lost their job or taken cuts, and they're saying, how come they're not announcing that? How come they're announcing this and these restructurings? I'm like, I don't know why they're doing what they're doing. Well, there's no handbook.
No one wants to read about Gary Lawless taking a pay cut in the Argos front office or whatever team you want to pick. I'm just using that as an example. There's no interest in that. But Adam Big Hill is a guy who helped bring a great cup back to Winnipeg. Charleston Hughes probably make a case to be one of the top three pass rushers in CFL history. He's right up there with the best of the best. So there's interest in the fact that those guys are taking a pay cut. That's why that's getting talked and written about.
Gotcha. So to the Golden Knights, 2-0, and they've been interesting. Been interesting games. Talk about the start to the season for the Golden Knights, please.
Yeah, well, I guess you got to talk about Anaheim. Because that was their opponent, and they came in, and Dallas Eakins had them a couple of things very well. They were really structured, and they worked really hard. They didn't offensively. They didn't try anything. They were not. There was no creativity in the neutral zone, and there was no creativity at the offensive blue line. It was get it in, get it down below the goal line. We've got big, heavy forwards. Let's see if we can pin Vegas's blue line in their own zone. And they did that for long stretches. I think Vegas's the superior talent eventually took over in game one, and they won 5-2. And then in the second game, John Gibson was really good for a long time. And then finally, Vegas got their chance late. Mark Stone had a really good weekend, 4 points. Goal and 3 assists, goals from the Marchessault, Carlson-Smith line, which is good to see early on. And, you know, the Vegas has got, you know, they're right up against the salary cap. So they played with 13 forwards and 5D on the weekend. And to me, the biggest, you know, Pietrangelo had big minutes on Saturday night, but the big story for me was Zach Whitecloud was tremendous, playing over 20 minutes in both nights, and just is really looks, you know, he is an NHL regular, and I think he's better than a bottom pair D. I think he's a middle pair D, and that's kind of what this 5D has allowed them to see. They've used a rotation, Rod, where they've taken their 5D, and every guy gets two shifts in a five-shift rotation. And so they mix guys up, they move them over, and in one of those pairings is Shea Theodore and Alex Pietrangelo, and it's really fun to watch them on the ice together. And Braden McNabb had a from Davidson, Saskatchewan, your fans will know who that is. He had a really good weekend as well. And Chandler Stephenson. Boy, Chandler's playing in between Mark Stone and Max Pacioretty, and Chandler can absolutely fly. Max Pacioretty says he's the fastest player he's ever played with. And there's kind of a metamorphosis going on for Chandler. You know, he was such a good, complete player in junior hockey. Then he got to the NHL and he ends up in the Capitals system, and you know, their top six was pretty crowded. So he ends up in the bottom six and sometimes on the fourth line. And, you know, we just talked about how Anaheim didn't try anything offensively. Most fourth lines, they have a pretty, you know, strict rule of things they're supposed to do and things they're not allowed to do. And thinking offensively and creatively is part of that. Well, now he's playing in the middle on the top line in Vegas on a Stanley Cup contender. Well, you better be creative. And he's, I think we're starting to see him some in his mind click from being a defense only guy to being a guy who can think offensively. And it'll be interesting to see how far he can go this year.
He was a defensive guy in junior. I did the games on TV, and I remember when he had braces. So I'm always looking at his teeth when I see him play with you guys. It was a great investment by his parents, and I love him. And, you know, Gary, this is not a shock to you. I mention it with you every time we visit. The amount of Golden Knights fans up here is unbelievable. Two Sask kids, five Manitobans, including Zach Whitecloud, and I mentioned four Winnipeg kids in your lineup the other night with Keegan Colazar, Cody Glass, Mark Stone, and Ryan Reeves. People in Winnipeg took that as a shot that I pointed that out. I'm like, it's not a shot. It's an observation. But why do you think that? It was planned.
It's interesting. I think that Vegas would be, you know, kind of like a second team to a lot of Winnipeggers when you see all of the Manitoba content in the lineup, except for the fact that they had a really good team in 17-18, and I think that they thought they had a shot at winning the Stanley Cup until they ran into Vegas. And I think that there's
a rivalry.
I don't blame them. I think there's a rivalry. I think that they look at the Golden Knights and go, those guys got in our way. We don't like them. Despite the fact that, you know, Kelly McCrimmon, although from Plenty, Saskatchewan, has made his home in Brandon for an awfully long time. And obviously, as you know, had his association with the Wheat Kings for decades. And then, you know, Shane Knighty is from Neepawa. And then, you know, Von Karpen is the director of pro scouting. He's from Flin Flon. You just go through the organization. There's Manitobans all over the place. So I think there would be good reason for Manitoba to like the Vegas Golden Knights, except for the fact that they knocked them out in five in the spring of 2018.
Good reason to dislike them for that reason. Okay, I could talk to you all day with my questions, Gary, but I'm going to go to the board. The viewers want
all
to.
Right.
Yeah, of course. The good questions come out now. They want to know.
No.
The Oilers need a goalie. What are the chances of Marc-Andre Fleury? What's it going to take to get Marc-Andre Fleury off the Golden Knights?
We'll take Draisaitl. That'll be a fair deal. No, I have no idea. I have no... Marc-Andre Fleury was fantastic on Saturday night, and the competitive advantage that the Golden Knights have right now by having a rotation that consists of Robin Leonard on one night and Marc-Andre Fleury on the next, there's a couple of things. In the West Division, you play every series is a back-to-back. So you play two against Anaheim. Now they actually have four in a row against Arizona. Then they have two against St. Louis, and it's sets of two throughout the whole year. Well, you play Robin Leonard in the opener, and the team gets used to, you know, okay, he's a big guy. Well, this is how we're going to have to beat him. And then And two nights later, they come back with Marc-Andre Fleury, who has a completely different style. So it kind of, you know, it's like having a lefty and a righty in your rotation that you can go back and forth with in baseball. So it confuses the batting order to a certain extent. Plus, they're both elite. So, you know, I don't think Vegas has any interest in helping out Edmonton. That would not surprise me if Vegas was to win the West and Edmonton was to win the North. I'm not predicting that. Montreal is my favorite team in the North. I think that they have a really good chance of winning it, but no one should be surprised if it's Edmonton. And I don't think Vegas would want to play Marc-Andre Fleury in the Western Conference Final. To me, that would be very little interest in that, unless the return. And again, like, I don't think that I wouldn't trade him. I wouldn't. But if the return is such that it blows you away, well, then that's special sport.
So the answer is he's not for sale, basically.
I'm not if I'm calling the shots, that's for sure.
Yeah. One of our viewers watching from Dallas, Texas, USA, Jeffy Capitti. Welcome, Jeffy. Glad to have you aboard. Nelson Hackwich. Can you guys put up the question from Nelson? He's one of the biggest Golden Knights fans that I know. And while you're finding that question, how about those gold unis the other night, Gary? That's a lot of gold on the ice at one time.
Live, it looks tremendous. I don't know how it translates to the television set. And I can't wait to have the building, T-Mobile Arena, full with, you know, 18,000 plus all in their gold, and the players all in their gold. It will look, it'll be something else. I was asked to put the gold jerseys the other night, and I said, well, they certainly aren't the Cleveland Browns, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. What Nelson's question was about the future for Marc-Andre Fleury. I mean, is it as talked about as much down there as it is up here? Because it's talked about every day, Gary, where Marc-Andre Fleury. Shoot, I had Gus Frerotte on the air the other day, and talked about Marc-Andre Fleury because he's a Penguins fan. He's like, why'd you take him from us if you aren't going to use him? Like, it's a huge topic, well, buddy.
He's played a ton, okay? Like, they acquired a goalie last year at the deadline, and the head coach made his decision in the playoffs. But, to me, it's an open competition right now. I think that both guys are elite, and this is a condensed season. You saw what Montreal did going out and hiring and acquiring Jake Allen to help out with Carey Price. It just, to me, it's a huge advantage for the Golden Knights. And what's Marc-Andre Fleury's future? He'll probably be playing on Wednesday night. That's his future.
Right. I'll get to the comment from Trent in Norway. Hang on a second. My last one for you, Gary, is about with the new coach, Peter DeBoer. Well, new, because I think it's about a year to the day almost that he took over there. What's the style going to be?
What do you mean? Say that.
What's the style going to be? Is it going to be run and gun? Is it going to be shut down defensively? Do you want to push the pace, or you can just play whatever style you want? What's the identity going to be under Peter DeBoer? Have you found it yet?
Well, for sure. And it is really heavy on the forecheck. Get out of the zone quickly. Activate the D. Get them involved in the offensive zone. We want to play in the offensive zone just like everybody else does. But and I also think that, you know, we want to dictate the pace and how the team plays. The other night, Anaheim, for big stretches of the game, they were able to do what they wanted to do. So playing with the lead is important for Vegas, and as much as they can do that, they will.
Producer Quack wants to know, was it a difficult decision to make Mark Stone captain, and what is it about Stone's leadership that earned him the C?
I don't think it was difficult at all. And I recall a conversation that I had with Ryan Reeves and Jonathan Marchessault just a couple of weeks after he'd been traded to Vegas, and we were sitting in the room, and we were on the opposite side of the dressing room, and Mark was talking to some media, and I said to Reeves, I know Mark a little bit, but I was curious to see how he was settling in. I said, how's he doing? And he just looked at me and he said, well, he's our captain. I said, what are you talking about? He's been here for 2 weeks. He said, you can't help it. You follow him. He is one of those leaders that whatever he does, you want to follow him. He's a huge team guy. He's happier than anybody when a teammate scores. He wants to win. He does all the little things right. So, Kelly McCrimmon made an interesting comment the other day. He said that putting the C on Mark Stone will actually improve his game. I asked Mark about it, and he said, well, I already put a lot of pressure on myself, but now there's some external pressure in the fact that, you know, I'm supposed to live up to this letter and this responsibility, and that will motivate me even more, I believe. So it's interesting comments there. And I think Mark's a great choice. And I think making Pietrangelo an alternate and Riley Smith the other, I like all those guys and the way they compete and who they are as people. So good choices.
A fantastic Golden Knights update. And Gary, so now you know, they love you up here if you didn't know before. Good luck tonight and keep in touch, my man.
when do these guys get rolling?
Still the champs until they're not. Thanks, Gary. Gary Lawless in Vegas, Golden Knights insider. You can follow all their stuff at the Golden Knights website or follow him on Twitter at Gary Lawless. Can you remember this comment? Nelson Hackowich says, a goaltender controversy is to hockey what a quarterback controversy is to football. It is, but there are differences. We'll talk about that. We got a sports update coming up on the way. From Sportsnet's Fantasy Football and DraftKings, Andy McNamara to talk about the Browns and where do they go from here. And Braden Muskowy from the famed Team Dunstone. We'll be back. It is episode 402 of Canada's Daytime Sports Talk Show. You're watching on Game Plus Television, live daily on YouTube, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all they our social nobody. Media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for joining us. Go down to the bottom of your screen, please, if you don't mind, and click share. If you're watching on Twitter, please give us a retweet, whatever it is. We're going to national television at the top of the hour. And don't forget, come February 1st, the show will start airing at 11 a.m. Central. And we'll be live daily on Game Plus for 2 hours. Sports update, L.A. Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley. Hang on. Do you want to go get the phone?
Yeah.
Now that we have a minute?
I'll go get it.
See if it's got enough of a charge on it. L.A. Rams defensive coordinator Brandon Staley gets to stay in Los Angeles, but as head coach of the other L.A.-based NFL team. Staley will become the Chargers' new head coach, pairing him with young quarterback Justin Herbert. Staley will replace former coach Anthony Lynn, who was fired 2 weeks ago. Julius Randle had 20 points with 12 rebounds, while R.J. Barrett added 19 points and 11 rebounds as the New York Knicks beat the Celtics last night. The Knicks snapped a 5-game slide in the process. Knicks will meet the Orlando Magic in their next game. From being a potential healthy scratch to scoring a milestone goal, Florida Panthers defenseman Keith Yandle scored his 100th career goal while extending his Ironman streak to 867 consecutive games played in a 5-2 Panthers win over Chicago Sunday night. Doug Jarvis holds the record for most consecutive NHL games played at 964. Kevin Na captured his first ever PGA Tour title with a win at the Sony Open in Hawaii earlier Sunday. Na shot a 5-under par in his final round to win the tournament. Abbotsford's Nick Taylor finished in a 3-way tie for 11th at 17-under. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room. They can handle all your food and fun needs. Open daily at 4 p.m. right in the heart of the Dewdney Strip. Open Fridays for lunch. Visit their website at ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings.
We're going to Ballers on Saturday.
Awesome.
For the McGregor fight. And they got limited tables. And I knew it was going to come up at some point during the week. But I don't know if they've got any left. But
we're going.
We're going. So there might be a chance to sneak in a final table or something if somebody wants
good
to.
Good show. Yeah. So on Nelson's assertion that goalie controversies are akin to football controversies, quarterback controversies, they are, but I've spent so much time studying this, and here's what my conclusion is. There is no answer. There's no one sure track. Like, you probably want two goalies, but it didn't necessarily work out for Vegas last year. And when you look at Tampa Bay, Andre Vasilevsky played every minute of every game on the way to winning the Stanley Cup. So I know you hate when I say it, but there are more than one way to skin a cat.
I don't hate it. I just don't want the call from PETA.
What would you do if you got it?
I know, right?
It's just a figure of speech.
I would.
And they still, yeah, anyways, there's just no one hard and fast way to do it. The Edmonton Oilers went into the year thinking that they had two with Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith, and now one's on long-term injured reserve, injured list, and now they only got one, and he's not playing very well. Would be kind of nice if he had two like Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Leonard, but I always go back to the Tampa Bay thing. They didn't need two. When you got one that stays healthy, and are you going to commit X amount of dollars to two? Holy. Now, I probably would do that. Like what Vegas is doing, I get. But you've heard that long adage, if you've got two quarterbacks, you don't have one.
Yeah.
That's just a football saying. Again, the Eagles from 3 years ago point out that that's the ideal scenario. If you can make it work, Carson Wentz and Nick Foles, they want a Super Bowl with it.
Yeah.
That's what the Golden Knights are trying to do. But in the meantime, I can't see you. In the meantime, how much carnage is caused?
I know. It's a lot, and the controversies are never a good thing. You know, in hockey, in the playoffs, it's different. But in football, in an ideal world, you don't see the backup. Outside of the preseason, you don't see him. And in New England, you didn't even know who the backup was, right? For all those years with Tom Brady. Played every snap, every down, every game. He played, you know, from the end of the preseason on. In the NHL, your backup goalie is going to play 20 to 30 times a year. Right, so you at least know he's going to play, so he plays a little bit of a role. But yeah, the controversy is never a good thing. In football, at least, your guy can come off the bench and win you a game. In hockey, your backup goalie is not usually coming off the bench to win you a game. He's coming off the bench to stop the bleeding, right? And your guy's got to go out and win the game. So there's a little different, but yeah, the controversy is never a good thing. And as much as you can say that, you know what, as long as you're good, and it's true, as long as you're good in your locker room and the relationship's okay in your locker room, you're good, no matter what is happening outside. But the louder the controversy gets outside, eventually you have to think it starts creeping in.
You can text us your thoughts. I want to hear from the viewers today, 306-840-8777, or listeners that are listening at Listen Live. That's 306-840-8777. Prairie Mobile is your authorized SaaS telemobility dealer. I do like to go to the guidance of the legends in areas like this. Wally Buono said it 20 years ago, and I never forgot. He said, in hockey, when you pull the goalie, switch goalies, the team gets a life. In football, when you switch a quarterback, the whole team dies. You can mull that over for a while.
Yeah.
But if Wally's saying it, probably true. To some of the viewers, Roger Yee says, morning, Rod Squad. Checking in from Calgary. Two things. One, damn you and thank you for getting me hooked on Yellowstone. Two, please wish our mutual friend Randy Merkley a happy birthday today. Roger, you just did. The great Merks, former voice of the Moose Jaw Warriors. Happy birthday, Merks. Great family. Philip Gross watching in Saskatoon. David Ayers. I want to know who that guy is going to be this year. It's going to happen. The Zamboni driver that's pressed into service on an emergency basis and beats the Toronto Maple Leafs? It's going to happen this year? That's a once-in-a-lifetime situation. It's like Halley's Comet at the very least, isn't it?
Kind of. It is. You know, who's going to be that story? Maybe, you know, in terms of who's going to be that feel-good story that comes out of nowhere out of left field.
A backup.
I don't know that it's going to be a backup. I don't know that it's going to be an emergency goaltender thrust into duty, especially with the extended taxi squads and things like that. But there will be a good story that comes out of it, I think. There usually
is. We're still waiting on it.
Still waiting on it, though.
Boy, am I asking too much, guys, to find the comment from Trent in Norway? Or maybe, wow, you were ready. Trent in Norway says, Norway calling. Family errands kept me away until now. I still stand by Green Bay and Kansas City for the Super Bowl, but Buffalo will give KC a run. As for Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay will handle the cold better than the rest of the Bucks, even though TB12 has the track record. Does Big Hill's pay cut mean Solomon Elamimian has a harder time with a pay cut too? Stay well, everyone. Woo! All the way over in Norway. They've heard that Solomon Elamimian's getting some pressure to sign a far lower deal. Or has that been reported? Because I hear the underground, and then there's what's being reported. I sometimes I have a tough time separating which is which.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Jeff in Winnipeg says the janitor who cleans stalls will be the next great e-bug. We haven't even heard the term e-bug. We've been busy with social distancing and Zoom calls and herd immunity. We forgot about e-bug.
I know.
Emergency backup goalie.
Let's drop that from the vernacular for a while, okay?
Okay.
Still have nightmares about that.
We will be right back with Viewer Takeover. Hang on. It's the RP Show, Game Plus Television, YouTube Live, and Listen Live for Suds Full Service Car Wash at rodpeterson.com.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back, everybody. Talking hockey, talking football, whatever comes to mind. I had said, I could have sworn that I saw Chris Jones on the sidelines of the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Somebody just texted me and said, you got bad info, he wasn't there. I'm like, nobody told me that he was there. I mean, granted, they're all covered up. I could have sworn I saw Chris Jones on the sidelines. I only saw him thousands of times on the sidelines at practice. Guess he wasn't there. I still don't believe the Browns are going to fire him. Do you think so?
I don't know. I really don't
know. Yeah, you don't know.
They've had such a successful season. I can't imagine. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of turnover in Cleveland. I just don't, can't imagine that there would be that much turnover.
You had some comments from YouTube you wanted to read?
Well, there's a few in here. Mm-hmm. Our friend Tristan's watching on YouTube.
Yep.
And he says that he thinks the Green Bay Packers are going to win the Super Bowl. So referring to our comments earlier in the show, so that's nice. Jason Wall was loving Gary Lawless. He says in all caps, Lawless with 3 exclamation marks. Nice W hoodie. And Trent's watching. He says he hopes the CFL makes it. So that was on the heels of that conversation with Gary Lawless. So they're dialed in on YouTube this morning.
Yeah, cool. We're still 400 episodes in trying to sort out which platforms are best to be on and when and so forth. But YouTube seems to be
it's great,
quite popular.
Yeah.
Going to the comments here, Joe in Long Island says, all of Long Island held their breath when Semyon Varlamov got hit in the throat during warm-ups on Saturday. If you can afford two good goalies, keep them. Really good point there, too. And by the way, Joe, I did look into it. If you want Game Plus on your television set in New York City, Altice Cable has it. So I know he particularly is a fan of Facebook, but just saying, if you want it on your cable, it is available in New York City. What else do we have going on? The one thing I noticed this weekend, I don't know where you are with your partner, but here's where I am with mine. I could very easily sit and watch 6 hours of football, 6, 7, 8 hours of hockey on a daily basis, and I would be just fine, but I can't do that. I'm not that selfish. So I have to sit down and budget which games I want to watch,
yeah,
which is actually a good thing because it's got me on top of each league and when the games start and so forth. It seemed like everybody on Saturday night was watching NFL playoffs and the Leafs. And I had flipped over and I was watching Golden Knights and Sam Steele with the Anaheim Ducks. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
There's just so much out there.
I know. And, you know, she doesn't say it, so I could watch 6 hours of football and she'll watch it with me, which is great. But I feel guilty too because she won't say if she wants to change it. So I'll always suggest, hey, let's throw on Netflix after, you know, I'll take my 3 hours or 4 hours of football and then we'll go to an hour or two of Netflix and then maybe go back.
You're really starting to think about Yellowstone, aren't you?
Yeah, we got to get through the one with Bryan Cranston first, Your Honor.
Your Honor, yeah.
Because it's really intense, and I don't want to start another one that's intense. So we're trying to wrap that up quick so we can get to Yellowstone.
But it's funny, John Ohm in Winnipeg. He says, how about them Raptors? 2 wins in a row. Are they playing? The NHL's going. Janelle says, I haven't seen my partner in over 48 hours due to golf, NFL, and NHL. That's what I'm saying. Don't forget about the other leagues. But we've certainly got more than enough to watch right now. It's a buffet. Coming up next hour, Andy McNamara from Sportsnet's Fantasy Football, presented by DraftKings. And also, Braden Muscoe of Team Dunstone. That's all coming up. Catch us on Game Plus or keep it right here on whatever channel you're watching on.
That Facebook Live comment is contractually binding, just so you know.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.